Hello. Welcome to Options Talk with OIC. I'm Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing for the Options Industry Council, and I'll be your host for this podcast series. OIC was created in 1992 to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars, webcasts, and podcasts. Here are a couple ways to stay in touch. You can like the OIC page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at options_EDU, and join our group OIC on LinkedIn. On today's show, we're going to discuss some strategies that an investor may want to consider when there's an expectation of a decrease in price, or in other words, when the market's bearish. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and option transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So let's introduce our guest for today's topic on strategies for a bear market. We've got Alan Grigoletto, Senior Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at Box. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe. I'm happy to be here.
Now, Alan, give us a little bit your background in the options industry.
Well, I was the first one hired to build out the business side of the Boston Options Exchange. Prior to that, I was a partner in an investment advisory firm, and I started in the industry as an independent market maker and floor broker on the CBOE.
Ah, the good old floor trading, back in the day. Well, thanks for being here. And also, we have Darren Tate from OIC's call center. Welcome, Darren. What do you do over there at the OCC?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. It's good to be back. I primarily answer calls on the help desk at 888-OPTIONS. We also maintain our website, optionseducation.org. We write content for that, and we review new content as it becomes available for the website. So all that kind of stuff keeps us pretty busy.
I'm sure it does. Well, thanks a lot for joining us on today's show. Now, let's talk about strategies for a bear market. Darren, you want to get us going?
Sure, I'll be glad to. Buying put options or selling call options are two of the things that come to mind initially when thinking about bearish strategies. A put option contract gives the holder the right to sell 100 shares of the underlying stock at the strike price on or before the expiration date of the contract. Buying put options is a common strategy used to potentially profit from a declining stock price because it does give the holder the right to sell stock at that fixed price. Should the stock price decline considerably, that's where a put option will typically increase in value and prove profitable should the bearish outlook come true. Another strategy is selling naked call options. It should be pointed out that naked call options are a very risky strategy. In fact, they're so risky that many brokerage houses won't let their customers engage in that kind of activity. Theoretically, there's no limit to how high a stock's price can go, so a naked call option can incur significant losses should the bearish outlook not come true and the stock price rise considerably. If one is writing calls, we usually like to talk about maybe using a bear call spread to limit the risk, but we're going to talk more on that a little bit later. And note that covered calls, which is also a short call option on top of a long stock position, typically don't fall into the bearish category as an investor has a long stock position. Covered calls are more of a neutral or slightly bullish strategy.
Okay, good stuff. Now, Alan, besides making money, what are some of the objectives in utilizing these couple strategies?
Well, Joe, some possible objectives in buying puts would include participating in the downward price movements of the market, protecting a long stock position, an ETF position, or an index position, or even protecting an unrealized profit in a long stock ETF or index position. Possible objectives in selling calls would include realizing additional returns on the underlying stock by earning premium income, or even to gain some protection, but only to the amount of that premium from a decline in a stock price.
Now, Darren, how about a couple more ideas on the risks and rewards of, you know, these couple strategies?
Sure. With buying put options, there is a known predetermined risk, the premium that you pay. That's going to be the most that you can lose when you buy a put option. As a put buyer, you can hold your position until expiration without incurring any additional risk of loss. Again, the premium that you pay is going to represent the maximum potential for loss. Selling calls, on the other hand, is a whole different risk profile versus a long put position. Depending on whether or not the calls are sold naked or against a long stock position will go a long ways towards dictating the risk of the short call.
Okay, very good. Now that's buying puts and selling calls. Alan, how about another bearish strategy that an investor might want to consider?
Well, let's look at a bear vertical spread. It's an option strategy where both options are identical, in puts in this example, with one option that has a higher strike price than the other. An example of the way this strategy can work is, with the underlying priced at 50, the investor would buy 150 strike put at 250 and sell 145 strike put at 75 cents for a total debit of $1.75. Now, the owner of this spread has both limited profit and limited risk. The maximum risk is the debit paid, and the maximum gain is the difference between those two strike prices minus the debit paid for the spread. In this case, the $5 difference between the strikes minus the debit of $1.75, which is $3.25 net.
Great example, Alan. Good detail. Thank you. Now, Darren, what about these risks and rewards in a vertical bear spread in a bearish market? Would you hit on them one more time?
Absolutely. Two types of the bearish vertical spreads are the bear put spread that Alan just provided an example of, and the bear call spread. The bear put spread is done for a debit, as Alan indicated, whereas the bear call spread generates a net credit when the trade is put on. With the bear put spread, in my opinion, there's somewhat less assignment risk, as one is short the lower strike put. So if the underlying declines considerably below the short strike price, now there's some assignment risk there, but at the same time, it's likely that the position has been profitable. Whereas with the bear call spread, one is short the lower strike call option. So if the stock moves higher, moves against the investor, and expiration is close, or there's an upcoming ex-dividend date, the chances of being assigned early on that short call option increase. Of course, the long option, at least before expiration, still acts as a hedge, but to avoid assignment, should the position move against the investor, one may want to seriously consider closing out the position. In either the bear call or bear put spread, the trade involves limited risk and predefined potential rewards.
And that's always an important thing for investors, you know, to know, that risk-reward profile. So thank you for covering that. Now, Alan, how about ratio spreads in a bear market? How do they work?
Well, a ratio spread is a strategy that can be used in a bearish market. It's a type of spread where the number of options purchased is greater than the number of options sold. In the case of a bear put spread, more puts are purchased in the out-of-the-money puts than are sold closer in at-the-money or in-the-money puts. Let's look at an example. With the underlying at 50, the investor sells 150 strike put for $1.50 in this case, while simultaneously purchasing 245 strike puts for a total of $1.50, or a net total cost of zero.
Now, Darren, would you briefly go over the advantages and disadvantages of the ratio spreads?
Sure. Usually we think about ratio spreads as being used when we're looking for a bigger move in the underlying security. Theoretically, there is significant but limited profit potential with a bear put ratio spread, limited because the stock prices cannot fall below zero, of course. Risk is going to be limited to the strike differential, minus the net credit received or plus the net debit paid. So in the example Alan provided, the $5 difference between the strikes, that's going to kind of dictate your gain or loss depending on whether or not it's done for a debit or credit. On top of that, ratio spreads are a situation where the investor is expecting a large move, as I indicated, and such spreads allow an investor to gain significant leverage as the cost of purchasing the higher number of long puts is offset by the sale of the higher strike short puts.
Fantastic. We are throwing a lot out there today for our listeners. I hope they're grasping it. Now, before we wrap up today, I have one more question I'd like to throw out about bearish strategies. There are some who might include diagonal spreads as a strategy to be used in a bear market. Others might argue that it's more of a neutral market spread. How about if we quickly define it and then give me your thoughts on whether it fits a bear market strategy. Alan?
Well, thanks, Joe. A diagonal spread usually involves selling a near-term option and buying a further-out option. And to be considered a classic diagonal spread, typically there are different expiration months and strike prices. It can be thought of as combining the strategy of a typical calendar spread with a vertical spread.
How about an example, Al?
With the underlying trading at $48, we're going to sell one XYZ March 40 put at $1 and purchase one June 50 put at $3.75. Unlike the calendar spread, which is best utilized in what we call a stable market, the diagonal benefits from bearish moves because the longer-term put is in the money. The key is that the investor wants the sale of that near-term XYZ 40 put to go out worthless. This is why we look at a bearish outlook in the front month. The investor is looking to finance the purchase of that put with the decay of the shorter-term put in the front month. The maximum gain is limited to difference in the two strike price minus the debit paid. $5 in this case minus the $1.75, which equals $3.25.
Oh, Alan, again, a really detailed example. You do a good job with that. Thank you. Now, Darren, anything else to add?
Well, I would just point out that, as Alan indicated, when we're talking about diagonals, typically the long put option, the long option is going to be the one that has longer time to expiration. So that's normally the way we're going to structure it. But I'd also say that diagonals can be modified in any number of ways to sort of tilt the outlook one way or another. Typically, such spreads have their maximum value if the stock is equal to the strike price of the short strike at the near-term expiration.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show, guys. I want to thank you both for your feedback and insight. Alan conducts seminars on behalf of OIC, so look for him on the seminar circuit. And if you ever want to talk to Darren or any of his knowledgeable staff of colleagues about any options-related question, reach out to the OIC call center at 1-888-OPTIONS. Check out our website, www.optionseducation.org. There are classes, webcasts, and a whole bunch of other resources out there to help you better understand options. Also, we want to know how we are doing, so reach out to us at options@theocc.com and let us know. Lastly, don't forget the social links we provided at the beginning of our show. You can join us at LinkedIn, like the OIC page on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and remember, a little options education goes a long way.